This is not my pen. Whose pen is this? Alejandro, bring me a better pen. Oh, hey, sorry, have we started already? This is not the Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Ellen, Jimmy Oprah show. You're watching The Right Show, brought to you by Valuetainment. Today we are going to talk about things the news doesn't want us to cover. Barron Trump turns 18. Does that mean he's fair game, as the media calls it? We have a Japanese baseball star. Look at that, Alejandro for the win. Who might be betting on games. Do you think he did or didn't? We'll find out together. And of course, we have me appearing on the Huckabee Show. We'll give you a sneak peek behind the scenes so you can see what life is like behind the camera with a famous half-Persian comedian. Let's go now. All right, now I have multiple pens. Today's episode has a question of the day. Where are you from and what is your favorite late-night show? My favorite show, late night show, not Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Colbert, Jimmy Corden. My favorite late night show is none other than the Huckabee Show. Why? Because he was smart enough to have me on. Huckabee was the Arkansas governor. Now he has his own late night show. And here's what it looks like when you're about to do a late night stand-up spot. See right there, I got a little sneak peek of going out there. This lady saying, you're going out in 5, 4, 3. Couldn't believe it. Then we went to a little bar. They had an Elvis Presley chair, and that's what I looked like. Now, going on the show was a lot of fun. Huckabee sat there, gave me a very warm intro. He was laughing the whole time. I did a great Trump impersonation. That's my big winner for those people. Those people are fantastic people. Everybody was laughing, and at the end, look at that right there. What a big win. It was always my goal when I went into stand-up comedy to do a late-night spot. And that can come at any time, any place, and it finally did. And this is what it looks like when you leave. They give you a signed letter from the governor and a mug. Yeah. So I got a little care package there. So if you come over to my house, come over and sit down for some coffee, you'll be drinking out of a Huckabee mug. All right. My next question we're going to ask you right over here. A lot of politicians probably should have retired by now. I can think of a few. Joe Biden, for one. You know, Biden has fallen down while running. He's fallen down while riding a bicycle. If he falls in the water, technically that's a triathlon. But we also have Mitch McConnell. We make fun of both sides here, so we ask people on the streets, what would you think Mitch McConnell should be doing for work as soon as he retires? Coming up, here's what they had to say. Mitch McConnell is a senator from Kentucky. If you saw that man at a work, what job would you think he'd be working at?
He might be a CPA.
Like a Walmart stocks person, you know, like them, like stocking.
A sloth handler.
A sloth handler. Hey, where are you going? Get back here. That's perfect.
Working in the park, sleeping on a bench or something.
I don't know. I think so.
He looked like a history teacher, too.
Staring out at a pond in a retirement home.
Retirement home.
You look like them people in a nursing home.
Probably shouldn't be working at all.
Principal.
Yeah, a mean one.
Yeah.
Football manager.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell, the football manager.
If he doesn't freeze on the state in the stadium.
Nah, he look like he'd be bored. He'll be in the basement opening files or something.
We might be better off as a country if that's what he was doing. See, there you have it. People in D.C. were ready to answer those questions. And that's what I'm telling you. We can make fun of both sides and have a good time. So put in the comments, what do you think Mitch McConnell should be doing instead of talking this fast and freezing in the middle of a speech? Speaking of freeze, it's time to stop, collaborate, and listen. We have a fantastic special guest here today with us. We have none other than Valuetainment's very own sports guru, number 17 for the Chiefs. You might have seen him suited up for the Panthers. 5'10", 185 pounds of pure muscle. He is one of the co-hosts of The Mouthpiece right here at Valuetainment. Fantastic sports show. I need you to go on there and subscribe right now to The Mouthpiece. And I want you to follow him as well. This is the Instagram, Man O' Steel. Please give it up for the one and only Chris Mano.
Thank you, my man. I appreciate it. That was a warm welcome.
Of course. I mean, I did a lot of research on you.
You sure did.
I like what I see.
Probably nicer than I deserve. Thank you.
I can't believe we're about the same height, and I could have been an NFL star. If I put more effort into it.
But I started late.
You started late? How old were you when you finally went in?
I started playing ball in general at 17 years old. I was always a baseball kid.
Wow.
But then I kind of fell into it through my best friends, and it was all she wrote from there.
How does it feel for other athletes who've been doing the Pop Warner and all the things, and then you come out of nowhere at 17 and nab a spot on an NFL team?
Well, it didn't happen just like that. So I was like a long journey after college when everybody else was ready to quit. I think my fire was still kind of burning, so I pushed for another like 3 or 4 years before I was ready to give it up. And thankfully, I didn't spend a long time there, but it changed my life just being able to be there.
And know? Somehow you ended up on Taylor Swift's favorite team.
Somehow, some way. Yes, that's what I was going for. Yeah.
That's right. His whole career is like, I want to meet her one day. That'd be fantastic.
That's it.
So people want to know, like, everyone sees the stuff that happens on the field, but what's it like when you walk into a NFL facility? Is there a front desk girl that buzzes you in? You have a badge? Are you a regular employee?
There is. There is definitely a front desk person that you get very cool with very quickly, mm-hmm. you know, but that's the deal. You know, you get cool with the equipment guys, get cool with the athletic trainers, get cool with the front desk people, and everything works smooth.
And is there buffet food after a workout?
The best.
Really?
Yeah, the best at the stadium. So in Kansas City and Carolina, they were both at the stadium. So yeah, they'd leave. A guy like me, they would want to make sure my weight was where it needed to be because I get hit too hard. I break if I get too light.
Break in half.
So they would give us food to take home. Yeah, it was a beautiful thing. And that's always the case though, right? The guys who don't need it get it. So
who's the heaviest guy who ever tackled you? Like, did it feel like getting hit by a truck?
Oh, heaviest? I mean, I've been tackled by some big sloppy dudes before, right. But like animals, like big nasty dudes. I don't know. I was on a field with Ray Lewis, which was pretty sick. Terrell Suggs was pretty big.
Wow.
Yeah, big dudes.
Because when I see a bouncer and he's like, you can't come in here, I can't imagine being like, I'm coming in and just running right through and bursting through two of them. I think I would just get call it dick sanded right into the ground.
I think generally, though, the guys that we see like in our hometowns, like if I see a guy 6'3", like 315 at home, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, this dude's a mess. Like, he can never catch me. He's clumsy.
Wow.
No, if you're like 6'5", 300 in the league, you're put together well, you're coordinated. That's the scary part.
Yeah.
When guys move like that.
That's a beast. Like, I don't know, like The Rock, but even bigger. And Samoan guys. Oh, my gosh. Samoan women are scary enough, let alone the men.
Yeah, they're nasty. Yeah, it's in their blood for sure.
It is. They're warriors. Well, because we have a sports guru here, I thought today would have a little bit of a sports bent to it. We don't always go there. But sports, politics, it all combines. Let's make fun of the news. Are you ready?
Oh, let's do it.
Let's go. I love that energy. All right, first up, we have this guy, and I'm going to let you take the story away. Shohei Ohtani says he never participated in sports gambling and accuses his interpreter of stealing the money. This is a big story. It's rocking sports. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, this is a crazy story because Shohei Ohtani isn't some like Joe Blow. He's the best player in the world. So it would be like the Michael Jordan of baseball. Obviously, he's got a bit of a history, but let's not go there.
Yeah.
But yeah,
he gambled too.
So
lots of gambling going on.
So yeah. So in a nutshell, Shohei Ohtani is over here from Japan. Signed the highest gross value contract of any player in North American sports history this offseason.
Wow.
$700 million.
Whoa.
And now, before they even made it to the season, his interpreter / best friend apparently got caught up with a $4.5 million gambling debt. And then they kind of tracked through this illegal bookmaker multiple wires from Shohei's personal accounts. So that is not a good thing for Mr. Ohtani. No.
I saw Pete Rose was saying, had I only had an interpreter, I would have beat the rap myself. So.
Yeah, it's crazy. And nowadays you got all these independent journalists who are digging into the contract, so they're going to find out stuff, which is not a good thing for Shohei.
Well, I'm from Las Vegas, and I can tell you personally, Asian people love gambling. It's a stereotype, but they'll build casinos based on the taste of the Asian. So what kind of restaurant? Every casino have like a noodle place, and you're like, well, they don't even always have a pizza parlor or a hot dog spot or a burger, but every casino will have an Asian cuisine because they want to bring them in. And the MGM, I don't know if you know this, MGM used to be a lion in the front. It was a beautiful lion, and you walk through the mouth, the open mouth of the lion to go gamble. So that was always cool. You're like, oh, wow. And their gambling was plummeting, and they couldn't figure out why they weren't attracting them. They finally did a study. They found out in China, it's bad luck to walk through the mouth of a lion to do anything.
Just China.
Just China.
Anywhere else you can walk into a lion's mouth and be fine.
They spent another $30, $40 million to redo the lion structure so that the Chinese didn't walk through the lion. That's how important the Chinese gaming was to them.
I guess that makes sense, though, right? Because what if there was a casino here where like you had to walk under ladders to get into it? It's almost like, you know, break a mirror on your way in. I'm maybe I'm good.
Or a lot of casinos, they don't have a 13th floor.
Yeah, I'm good. Like, maybe I'll avoid that
one. How superstitious are you? You were in sports. Did you put a rabbit foot in the, you know?
No, I'm not really superstitious. I'm just like a creature of habit. Like, I had my routine. routine, and I would try to stick to it. If there were things I couldn't do, a little weird for a little bit. But look, it's not like I couldn't step on that line or I'm afraid I'm going to get paralyzed this week.
With stand-up comedy, they're like, try to have some like a lucky shoes when you put them on. I'm like, no, what if the freaking airplane, they lose my lucky shoes? I got to go on stage. I'm like, I'm not used to these. So I want to be funny and able to perform in any
environment. I mean, yeah, we got weird dudes who maybe they're – pair of draws work for them, and they think if we wash that stank off them, at the, you know, I'm going to lose a little something.
So, Is that the weirdest one you heard of, a pair of underwear?
Oh, no, there's really weird ones. I can't think off the top of my head. What are some weird ones? I mean, certain guys got to eat certain weird things before
they go.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm sure there's weird stuff if I go back and think about it, but.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to look right here at what this guy has to say. I'm very saddened and shocked as someone who I trusted had done this to me. So what he's doing here is he's making his interpreter go on the ride. I've never asked someone to do that on my behalf. They have been stealing my money from the account and telling lies to me. What do you think about that?
Pivot. It's weird, right? So there's going to be two things right here. Now, you're going to test the loyalty of your friend. If he actually did this, what Shohei claims is that he just paid his buddy's gambling debts, which if that was it, hero, right? That's cool. Like, if my friend shelled out $4.5 million to get me out of hock, I'd be thrilled.
Sure.
But the problem is going to be if he actually did it wrong and this guy's going to go face federal prison time. Ooh. Now, what kind of loyalty does this guy have to Ohtani where he'll sit, like, you take care of my family forever, you're just going to go sit in the clink for like the next 2 years.
In the hood, that's what they call it. They say, you're going to take a ride from me. Yeah, and that means, you know, let's just say R. Kelly makes millions of dollars. He is the breadwinner for the whole family, probably 15, 20 people on the payroll. And there's a tape with something going on with the underage girl. So R. Kelly says, nah, that's my brother. And now the brother, who didn't really do anything wrong, needs to go to jail now for 6 years for what R. Kelly did. But I need you to do this, my man, and I'll break you off real nice when you get out. How much trust is involved in something like that?
Well, I mean, look, you know what I think of immediately, and I don't want to open Pandora's box because he's had a tough week himself, is Diddy.
Mm-hmm.
Diddy had a guy named Shine, who was an old rapper, go to jail on his behalf, apparently, for like a decade.
Damn.
So he came out, changed man. Diddy should have set him up forever, but...
did he do it?
Did he do it?
Did he or didn't he?
But, yeah.
Well, if I go to jail for you for 10 years and you skip bail on me, you know, you don't pay me out for what I took a
I'm
ride for you, I'm
yeah,
going
I'm
back
going
to jail
right
after I, you know...
yeah,
you're going down. I will find a way to make... You know, I'm just... I don't know.
The weird part about it is Shohei Ohtani claims he didn't know where $4.5 million are now. I guess because he's got so much.
Yeah, when you have $700
million... I don't know that I can misplace $4.5 million and be like... Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I bet? He's got $700 million from MLB promised to him, but also in Japan, he's got to be a huge star internationally. He probably has another $300-400 million in endorsements. When you have $1 billion, you might lose $4 million. Who could fault him for such a thing? Very tough. So I hope he beats the rap. But we're gonna ask you guys, what do you think? Is Shohei Ohtani guilty, or did his friend trick him and steal $4 million of his billion? We're gonna find out what you say in the comments and move right along to the next story. Teamwork, sportsmanship, very important. No one knows this more than Chris Mano right here, but I want him to watch this video and tell me his sports take on this sportsmanship. A softball-playing female did not want to high-five the coach, and he kind of gave it to her right in her face. Take a look. There she goes. She's high-fiving, hand down. Oh. We'll watch it again. I'll slow it up. You can see the coach. Oh, and that's where she is not having it. That's Me Too, feminism, and Kamala Harris is our VP all rolled into one. At the end of the game, you're supposed to high-five all the players. I don't know about the coaches. What do you think?
Yeah, in our sport, that's not a thing. Like, we don't get into lines anymore and shake hands. It's really hard for me to want to rip your face off for 3 hours and immediately, like, 3 seconds later, come over and, like, share the love.
Good game.
But we all know each other usually, so.
Yeah.
But I have to think there's something more to that. Like, maybe something happened in that game why she would just decide, I'm cool, not happening for me.
Yeah, when I watch that video closely, and you'll see it, she high-fives all the players. She puts her hand down by the time it gets to the coach. The first coach walks by, no problem. But the second coach was like, my hand is up. You're going to disrespect me? And he goes like this. The internet is entirely divided on this, whether hey, dude, don't do that to a woman, whether she wants to shake your hand or not, move on. And she turned around and started jawing at him.
Some of these lines get really long, and it depends. Like, if you just lost, you don't want to – you ever watch, like, fights, like UFC fights?
Yeah.
Guy gets knocked out, and his opponent comes over. He's, like, blissful because he just got the win or she just got the win. It's, and they want to talk and hug, and I'm like, bro, get the – off of me. I do not want to talk to you right now. Yeah. I just put in a ton of work. So I kind of get it, I guess.
Yeah. Would you dab up after a fight? Good fight? I mean, you both train for it.
To be honest, like when I was growing up, if you'd fight somebody like outside, that's what we would do after if it was a good fight. And then you become cool with the person. Like that was always all right for me.
That's an East Coast thing to do. And I don't think in Vegas and all that, they beat you up. And some, they take your shoes and tie the laces and throw them up to the power lines
nice.
To remind everyone that you got your ass beat over here, son.
And in my world, you throw your cleats up on the power lines when you're done.
When you're
like
done,
you
with
retired.
Them.
I'm hanging them up.
Oh, I lost so many shoes and cleats that way, man. I lost my sandals. I didn't even know how they did that. So that was fantastic. All right, so I want you guys to answer for us. Do you think the coach had a right to be like, hey, you didn't respect me, and give her a kind of a little face shove?
Face wash.
Yeah, did he cross the line? And women should not have to stand for this anymore. Put in the comments. Can't wait to see what you think about that. All right, our next story, serving it up. The media has an infatuation with Donald Trump. They want him destroyed. The media is far, far left. That's why we're the right show. We're not even far right. We're just in the center, which is now the far right. But the media has been now turning their sights to this barren Trump, the 6'7" son of Donald. They wrote, former NBC exec wrote this, Barron Trump is now fair game on his 18th birthday. And people going, what the heck are you talking about? Fair game. You know, when you talk about that, if I was like, hey, that girl just turned 18, Chris, she's fair game. What would you think?
Yeah, sentences like that are never a good thing. Like, there's been a bad history of those. It's always, like, I remember when I was, like, growing up, I would listen to Howard Stern.
Yeah.
And he had the Olsen twins, Howard Stern.
Yeah, you know,
what happened,
Howard.
What happened to Howard Stern?
Oh, he went far left.
But Howard Stern always had the clock for the Olsen twins. Like, it's their 18th birthday countdown.
Oh, man.
See, it was creepy then. It's creepy now. But I think it means something completely different. Now I'm almost like, they're counting down 18, so now they can just berate this poor kid.
Yeah, they're not even, it's not, if women are like, ooh, he's fair game now, it's creepy, but hey, at least he's becoming a man and he's handsome now. There was a magazine a lot of gentlemen read. I've just heard of it. It's called Barely Legal. I don't subscribe or anything, so don't look into that. But here's what the guy had to say. Barron Trump turns 18 today. He's fair game now. According to Singleton, this is his big apology, he was trying to publicly ridicule Donald Trump's teenage son now that he's legally an adult. But his comments drew fire online. Singleton, who now calls himself Hollywood's ultimate insider on social media, said he understands his words could have been misconstrued. Some pointed out fair game could mean fair game to be harmed, like, you know, actually physically hurt. And he says, I don't want physical harm to anyone. I just wanted them to know he's fair game. That's horrible.
Like, what else could it be?
Yeah.
Like, he's not really, I mean, awesome dude. I love the kid. It's tough to be sure. It's tough to walk in his shoes, but he's not like a male model or anything.
No.
So what do you think he meant when he said he's fair game at 18?
With the left, and they always want the LGBTIA+, and they think the plus is like underage. They're trying to call the MAPS minor attracted people. It's not a horrible thing. It's just how they were born. So I was thinking when he wrote fair game that he wants a little bit of that Barron baloney pony.
Barron's like 6'8", too.
He's 6'8 now?
Yeah, he's a big
6'7 yesterday.
6'7 yesterday.
Man, unbelievable. Well, even a few leftists are commenting on it. Mark Goldenstein said, for everyone asking if Barron at 18 is fair game, please remember, he hasn't stole from charities, he hasn't grabbed Chinese trademarks for Thoughty, and he's done nothing wrong just being the son of a schmuck. So there we go. A little voice of reason from the radical left, TDS. Even the insiders are fighting that is not fair to call him fair game. All right, now we move on to this one. Boeing has had a ton of problems. Boeing planes, you never know what's going to happen. The doors might fly off, and when I get on the plane, I don't know if it's going to be the left door or the right, so I sit in the middle seats now between two really large people so that if a door goes, they get sucked and plug the hole for me. That's my strategy. Have you seen all the Boeing problems?
No, but I fly every week, so I kind of been happy that I haven't seen it. Although,
it's scary.
Yeah, I realized.
What airline do you go?
Generally, what's the cheapest? I tend to move Delta more than anything else. Nice. I've been stuck on a couple of Spirits lately, but
I tend to go Southwest because you get two bags free.
Okay.
And I'm such a priority, I can sit wherever I want.
Mm.
And if, but they always have layovers when I'm trying to go places. And I'm nice. Trying to go nonstop.
Right.
So I did Spirit. I risked my life. I went Spirit.
How'd that go? You still here with us?
I'm here. You get half an armrest. You get half a
get
tray
that
table.
Metal, that metal tray table?
Yeah, the metal tray table.
And no back pocket
no
on the seat in front
oh,
of you.
Oh, yeah. It's a hard plastic back pocket.
And it's, no, it's like bungee cords.
Oh, they put
like
two
the bungee cords
bungee
cross
cords.
And you're like, I just got to get anything I can in here.
Yeah, you just put a water bottle in there. You're like, that's, I think.
Is it going to stay?
It looks like MacGyver put
yeah,
that
yeah.
whole plane together.
Yeah, I'm
ridiculous.
Lucky. I'm at about, like, I've been down here now for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I got enough stuff down here and enough stuff in New York that I can just backpack it.
Backpack.
Yeah, I'm lucky.
Well, he gave me a tip is put your hoodie over your backpack.
Always. Put my, hey, Ixnay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You didn't hear that.
No, never mind.
But that's a trick, right?
That's
you
a trick.
Get like a comfortable hoodie. I put my backpack tight to my body, tighten it down, put the hoodie over me, and now I can carry on a carry-on.
Another backpack. Well, yeah. By the way, I'm not against giving away all my tricks. I don't think they're going to get that far out there, so I made a whole book about it right here. It's called Once You Go Everywhere, full of tips and tricks on how to break the laws for every airline, cruise ship, and rental car company. Order it today. It might save you a couple $100s a year, I promise you. All right. So Boeing, we're trying to figure out why are the wheels falling off? Why are the doors blowing open? And they have a huge DEI push where they're trying to hire people who are diverse, people you wouldn't normally hire because they've been given underprivileged status. Look who's building the planes now. This is insider stuff. Only we have it. Take a look. And they're completely okay with this. Look at that.
That's how really they put- striking.
So they put the wing on. I mean, it's unbelievable. So
why do I feel like they're more competent than some of the flight attendants I've seen in the month?
That's right. The monkey at least will bring you peanuts or a banana or something. All right. Now, traveling's not easy for anyone. Women are warned now when they go on cruise ships to be very careful. Being a woman on a cruise ship means someone could break into the cruise. They have reports of being harassed. Now, I think a lot of these women had one too many drinks and they woke up and go, "How did you get in here, Pedro? Get out of my cabin." But this woman took it to the next level. Mano, watch how secure she wants to be before she goes to bed on the cruise. Take a look. She put a do not disturb, closed it, locked it, and she rigged this hanger situation. And you do that so it's quiet when they try to yank. Then she bought her own door jammer so it can't be pushed open. And she reinforces it with her chair. Then she got the light switch so it doesn't wake her up, because she wants to sleep in peace. And then she has a travel camera. It's only like $99. She goes out to check the balcony to make sure no one's like MacGyvering or Tom Cruising their way up. Close it. Lock it. Safety lock. She can finally relax. Now, to me, she looked like the creepiest one in the cruise. I'd be scared of her on the balcony.
How about the ego to think that somebody wants you so bad that they're going to go through that just to get you on this cruise? That's a crazy thing.
That
she probably sits in her car with a mask by herself.
The woman in cabin 313, I got to see her.
I have to. And I'm going to bring an army of like rhinos with me to get through that door.
I mean, and by the way, if she has to wake up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, she's now jerry-rigged the whole place to where she has to undo it all. So she is screwed in there. But I thought that was... Ladies, we're going to ask you right now, do you feel like men are coming after you that hard? Me, for one, I'll ask you out. And if you don't want to go out and you don't want me to give you the number, I'm cool. Like, I've given up.
Yeah, I've never liked a girl that much. No, I'm not going through that.
Well, there you have it. So, ladies, you can take those safety precautions if you so choose, but... I can promise you most guys aren't going through that effort, especially when you're on a cruise. We're just there to have fun. All right, moving right along. Eric Adams, the mayor of New York. Is he the mayor?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, and you're a New Yorker.
I am a New Yorker, yes.
Why'd you say unfortunately?
Because Eric Adams is the mayor of New York.
that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, it all checks out, all right?
Yeah, it's been tough with Eric Adams up there, man. Yeah.
I've seen he's taken every side of every issue. First of all, he's like, we need to have more immigrants. What's wrong with that, having an immigrant? And then when they come, this taking services away from
here?
Our people.
Yeah.
How did they get here?
Yeah.
I do Jay-Z when I do Eric Adams.
Then I sense that.
The rock
bit.
In the building.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. What is his deal?
I don't know. But it's like, I mean, any form of leadership in New York is you got to just assume that they're going to be terrible at this point. Yeah. I thought there was a little hope for Eric Adams when he first came in because of his background, like policing. Mm-hmm. But that changed in about 15 minutes. So now he's done a horrible job.
You got to be dirty to make it in New York. The politicians, and if you're a real estate builder, and that's what Trump had to do. He had to grease a lot of hands, go to the Clintons' weddings, pretending he was a Democrat for years. And finally he moved to Florida. He's like, the gloves are off. I hate the Democrats. These are horrible people. I wish you'd know. I've done business with them.
And so. He does say just like that, which I love.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So Eric Adams has this to say when they asked him, what's so great about New York? In one word, here's his word.
You look at the totality of the year. If you had to describe it, and it's tough to do, in one word, what would that word be and tell me why?
New York. This is a place where every day you wake up, you could experience everything from a plane crashing into our trade center to a person who's celebrating a new business that's open. This is a very, very complicated city, and that's why it's the greatest city on the globe.
In one word, what's great about New York? Well, New York, first of all, that was like 70 words.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know what was worse, his grasp of the concept of one word or the fact that the best thing to describe a city is that you have a 50-50 chance of being in a skyscraper and losing 3,000 people that day, or you could have a good day.
A new bagel shop.
One of two.
Hey, a plane can hit the building.
Yeah.
Or a new smoothie place with Froyo.
You got a 50-50 shot. Anything could happen here.
Yeah, so that answer reminded me of Kamala Harris if she takes off her weave. And now she Eric Adams.
Yeah, no, that's tough. But that's par for the course up there. The incompetence is laughable. It's wild.
You say, Kayvon, what's so great about working at Valuetainment? It's the kind of place where a light bulb can fall and hit you on the head, or you can meet Candace Owens. It's really great.
Like, the longest compound word ever, too. Long word.
Yeah, with a lot of dashes.
Yeah.
Why did you bring up 9/11 in 2024 as one of the great things about New York? Like, I'm sorry. Like, sometimes we laugh. I get people complain to me, why you laugh during that? Because that's all you can do.
To stop yourself from crying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
We need to laugh because otherwise we are just going to cry. And what's one thing these other countries don't have is laughter. At least we can make fun of Eric Adams, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and not go to jail for now.
Today
in America. Speaking of having a problem with freedom of speech, Kyle Rittenhouse, you might remember, this was a gentleman, I think he was 17 years old. He went over to his stepdad's part of town, or maybe his father, mom and dad were divorced. He took a firearm with them, and his goal was to clean up the streets and protect his buddy's car dealership because there was a lot of chatter that BLM and Antifa, they were coming to town, and they were going to tear up this part of, is it Wisconsin?
Do you remember Kenosha.
Wisconsin.
Yep.
Right. So it's like a 30, 45-minute drive, I believe. People are like, he crossed a state line. Some cities are near a state line. He drove 40 minutes.
And if I remember correctly, he killed three black people who were white, right?
Yes.
Or shot three black people who were white.
So somehow the media has convinced African-Americans that Kyle Rittenhouse came and just shot them for no reason.
Right.
Instead, it was three white guys chasing him, saying, we're going to kill you, buddy. One was armed. One had a skateboard, was going to hit him, and you could do some damage. So anyway, somehow the media has convinced Black Lives Matter that he shot black people. So he is a terrorist. He is racist, sexist, Islamophobic, xenophobic. And when he comes to speak at a town near yours, you have to shut it down. You're black. Do your part. That's what it looked like.
Okay. I was sitting down and I was listening to you.
And soon she's going to be working customer service at a business near you.
I know we good.
So that's what they did. They shut down the speech. They heckled it till it couldn't go on. Kyle walked off stage. When you look at Kyle Rittenhouse, you see like a dork. He's like a nerd in a polo shirt. He has a license. He had the ability. He had a concealed weapons permit, I believe. It wasn't illegal. That's why he walked. And he didn't even attack black people. It wasn't on his radar. They are convinced he's after them. And when you see that person, she's She's a college student, but she's big, she's angry, she's loud, she doesn't agree with freedom of speech, the First Amendment. What are they teaching in college?
Well, she agrees with freedom of speech if you agree with her, I'm sure. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
She's that. You could tell that that chick is the main character in, like, in her life. She is the main character in everything. She's going to be front and center, loud as can be.
Right. Self-confidence has no issue. She's kind of in a little skirt.
Don't even worry about the facts, because I'm sure she knows everything about the case. Yeah,
right.
Brutal.
Right. So she took it personally, and I'm trying to look at, like, what is the culture doing? Why are they pushing stuff like this? And then I saw this video, which is so sad. A father was teaching the kids how to behave, and if they act like this as kids, they're gonna act like this when they get older. And I'm gonna show you in a second, but we want to ask Chris, where can we find you? What are you working on next?
Well, we have the mouthpiece here on Valuetainment. Yes. We're about 8 weeks in and we're growing, so thank you for that. Please check us out over there. You can find me on Instagram, ManoSteel. I'm on the new Manect app, so let's get on there. Let's chat for a little bit. Manect. Mm-hmm. And I'm just
Manect
happy
is
to be
a good way
here.
To connect with a NFL player and ask him, you know, he coaches the youth. That's one thing that he's
for
been
sure.
doing, and he's got them to much higher positions than they can get on their own. A lot of dads think I can coach. Bring him in for a couple sessions and maybe you'll learn some tips and keep the kid moving.
Yeah, we could talk about, my story was I probably never should have been as far as I've gotten. Probably shouldn't be here right now, but I managed to do it. So let's talk about how we can get you there too.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't even be on this show. And
probably
you're here
not.
Anyways. Look at him doing a fantastic job. So don't go anywhere, because I'm going to show you what they teach these kids right here and how disrespectful they are at the age of 8, 9, 10. They get to college and no wonder they act like that girl.
All
check
right,
it out.
No pose. Damn! One more pose, man. Oh man. Why you got the NBA Youngboy knees?
Look at this. Boom.
Oh man. Side middle finger. You don't know how to do that? Just middle finger.
Oh man, no. There's another one.
Man.
Double flip off.
Man.
Ooh.
Man. Oh shit.
Uh-uh-uh.
Oh shit.
Encouraged by dad. Kids want to make dad happy. They want to make dad proud. This got some good encouragement when he was doing it. And then he goes to school, does it to the teacher. The kids laugh. Then he does it to a cop. Then he does it to Kyle Rittenhouse when he's at the speech. That's pretty much what happens. We can't have stuff like that if you want to have a great culture that's successful. Agree or not? Okay. Where the heck did Mano go? That's rude. Maybe he was raised by a... All I made was one joke. I made one joke about maybe he shouldn't be here, and he takes it personally. We lose more guests on this show this way. All right, put in the comments, did you like having Chris on? Maybe I can do a mea culpa, apologize. Maybe he'll come back, give us more sports expertise. I thought it was fine. I thought it went well, but that's just how dates go. You think it's great, and she's over there going, I never want to see him again. That's for sure. I read the room wrong. It happens. All right, getting towards the end of our show, there's nothing worse than protesters. We know that. And this Karen from Seattle got under the Amazon truck and started making her protest. She didn't feel she got the package she deserved. Take a look.
This is,
look at this lady.
Who has my stuff. He won't give it to me. I paid for it. Can you send him? I'm under his truck. Yes, he is, and I will not let
him
leave.
I'm trying to leave, and she's under my truck.
I'm laying under his truck, and I will not let him leave.
What is the address?
There.
Look at this weird
man. That's not safe. Somebody
it's not
can
safe
hit
to
you.
Be under there.
You
it is not safe at all.
I'm in front of the
all
gate,
right,
but I live in B10.
I'll wait for my supervisor. I won't leave, but get out of there.
She is risking her life for
hurt.
That Amazon.
Yes, it is.
I want to know what was in the package. What was in the package that she was so convinced that he had it in his truck? I never go up to an Amazon truck and assume that's the guy who has my. Sometimes there's three or four drivers coming per day. Don't lay under the trucks. And this is happening all over the country. This is not an isolated incident. There's some idiot over there in Portland who didn't get the pizza he wanted at Papa John's. Something, I don't know what it is. It's going viral right now. And this complete loser, he also lays under the truck. I think it looks like a speed bump. They should have run him over. Take a look.
Under my car. They won't leave.
And there is no garlic sauce. I was told, sir, you did not bring me the garlic sauce.
Sir, I gotta leave.
I don't care. I know that I'm entitled to garlic sauce. Hi. Yes, I'm calling your manager.
Go ahead.
Owe me a pepperoncini
yes.
and a garlic sauce.
Okay.
If I wanted to be treated like this, I would have ordered.
Then I'll come back and bring your pepperoncini.
No, you can't go anywhere because you run over me and you're gonna get in big trouble. Hello.
Yeah. Sir, how long? I have other orders to do.
What is your name? What's your badge number?
Daniel. I don't have a badge number. I'm not a cop.
Number, your employee number, please.
I don't have an employee number. I'm new to the company.
He refuses to give me his employee number. His name is Daniel. He works there and he did not bring the garlic sauce.
So how am I supposed to go get your stuff if you won't move out of my car?
Call for help. Call for backup.
You could tell that loser is going to be there for a while because he has pizza. He can stay under there for at least 30 days. All right. We finally go to the portion of my show which I love the most. I've been working triple time to write sketches, parodies, and make fun things come to life. We want you to laugh, so these sketches are my passion. This happened on Jeopardy. The clue came up. Zim, Zers, Zimself. The answer was beep, 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 beep. What are neo pronouns? He got the answer right. He won the $1,200. He got the Daily Double. We swapped out all the actors. We have that capability here at Valuetainment. We have the cameras. We have the background. We can look like we're on Jeopardy. It was a dream come true. And I wrote the best lines for my friend Vinny O'Shana to read at the end. Watch him nail this new version of Jeff Parody.
Zem, Zers, Zemself.
Who are Superman's parents?
No.
What are musical instruments?
No.
What are made-up pronouns meant to further divide us and sexually confuse our youth with the end goal of lowering the population, funded by George Soros and Klaus Schwab, in conjunction with the WEF, with the goal of solving climate change and forcing us to be relying on the government for all of our basic human needs? Basically communism.
That's it. You seem so calm. What's your secret?
I just talked to a lot of like-minded people on X, formerly known as Twitter.
Where to now?
Okay, I'll take more left-wing propaganda for 600, Ken.
The answer there is the Daily Double.
Yes! I love those!
Awesome. So that's what we get to do around here when we're not prepping for this show. This show, we keep it kind of in a box. We make sure we cover all the news stories you need to know about. But when we get creative, the sky is the limit. We're going to do more of that. So we're going to ask you in the comments, this will be the best way to get things to mock and make fun of. What should we parody next? Did you see a viral video you like? Did you see something funny? Did you see something absurd? Tell us. Say, hey, make fun of this, Kayvon. It'll give me ideas. I'll come up with something. Right now, there's Planet Fitness that had a man in the women's restroom and a girl came running out. We're working on a parody now of how crappy is Planet Fitness that they're allowing this stuff to happen under their watchful eye. That's going to be our next sketch. You're going to love it. All right, folks, you made it to the end of The Right Show. I want you to pick up this book right here, Once You Go Everywhere. Just like I told you with Chris Mano, funny stories from all over the globe from your favorite comedian. We have this gentleman who's already got his book. We've sent out over, I don't know, 100 copies already. It just came out last week. Thanks. I can't wait to start reading it. And they do come signed. And if you want to see me live, I'm bringing 100 books to every one of these cities. Arlington, Virginia, next week. We got a private event. You can hire me for privates. TPUSA Buffalo, New York. TPUSA Ann Arbor, Michigan. TPUSA Arkansas. Man, this guy gets around. Carson City, San Diego. Tacoma, Washington. Monterey, San Francisco. Raleigh, Louisville. Fort Wayne and Appleton, Wisconsin. Those Spirit Airlines miles are going to go through the roof. And so are my costs for baggage. So please get your tickets on KayvonComedy.com so I can afford it. You made it to the end of The Right Show. We bring you truth through the art of comedy. We laugh our way through the news, and we're waking the world up with this kind of content. I hope you'll tell your friends, subscribe, like, and keep it going. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.